This podcast includes information provided by the issuer and does not express the views of the interviewer. This podcast may also include forward-looking statements by the issuer that involve certain risks and uncertainties to its business. Because forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, the issuer's actual results could differ from those indicated in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you all so much for the support and for tuning in to the Planet Microcap Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Bobby K. Kraft. That's B-O-B-B-Y-K-K-R-A-F-T. And you are listening to episode 21. For this episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I spoke with Rick Rule, President and CEO of Sprott US Holdings, Inc. Rick Rule has dedicated his entire life to natural resource securities investing and is one of the more sought-after speakers and leading thinkers in natural resources and mining. I've seen him speak at many conferences to packed rooms, and let me tell you, when he speaks, people listen. I've wanted to speak with him since starting this podcast, so I feel quite privileged that he was able to carve out some time to do this. I felt he was the natural resource, pardon the pun, to discuss the cyclical nature of resources. Roughly being able to predict where we are in any given cycle, while difficult, can provide an edge when looking at investing in microcap resource companies. In this interview, Rick provides an overview to understand when these peaks and valleys can and do happen and their characteristics. The goal for this episode is to learn about the cyclical nature of the resource market, in his opinion, where we are currently at in the cycle, and his advice for aspiring microcap investors looking at the resource sector. You might also be interested in joining Rick and his team as they will be hosting the Sprott Vancouver Natural Resource Symposium at the Fairmont Hotel in Vancouver, BC, July 26th to the 29th. You can register to attend at naturalresourcesymposium.com or go to sprottglobal.com under upcoming events. Also, at the very end of the interview, Rick makes a very special offer that you may want to take advantage of. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 21 of the Planet Microcap Podcast. Please enjoy my interview with Rick Rule, but first, a word from our sponsor.
A comprehensive streaming of market data, research, and portfolio management application for you. QuoteStream is a real-time streaming quotes and research system designed for the day trader, retail investor, institutional investor, both new and old. QuoteStream offers low latency, tick-by-tick data, advanced charting, comprehensive technical analysis, news, and research. With no software to install and no servers to maintain, QuoteStream is the ideal solution for you. Go to stocknewsnow.com and start your free 7-day trial. Click the QuoteStream banner in the header or real-time quotes in the nav bar to get started building and managing your investments.
For this episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I have Rick Rule, President and CEO of Sprott US Holdings, on the program. Rick, welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Robert.
It's my pleasure. So, first things first, like I do with all my guests, I'd like to know, what is your background and how did you get into natural resources?
Sure. I run the U.S. business for Sprott, Inc. Sprott is a global money manager that's had a 35-year focus on natural resources and precious metals. We manage or administer about $9 billion worldwide. And as I say, 75% plus of the assets under management are natural resource or precious metals assets. I have been employed in the natural resource investment business since the mid-1970s. I'm embarrassed to say 40 years on the front lines in natural resources. Came to it because of a childhood interest in natural resources and geology. One of those sort of boring guys who decided what to do when he was a teenager. Started doing it, found out he made the right decision, and just stuck with it.
So, you know, you, even though you did date yourself there, I have to now ask you, you know, how many cycles have you been through in your lifetime thus far?
Well, let me see. I guess this is my fourth major cycle. The first one, of course, took place in the decade of the 70s, the mega bull market, and I'm, you know, at the point in time when I experienced it, I was in one sense too inexperienced to understand what was going on. But I've been through three cycles since that I've been completely cognizant of. Mm.
And just to follow up on that, like, I know I just kind of threw out that term, and I kind of want to understand, you know, for our audience, what does a cycle mean? Like, what does this mean, especially in mining?
Well, Robert, that's a wonderful question. All of the extractive industries, in fact, all of the natural resource industries, are extremely capital intensive, which means that they are extremely cyclical. When you look at the costs associated with a commodity, there are many costs that are in addition to the cash costs associated with extracting the resource. The front-end costs, including the capital for plant construction, are very large factors, and they take a very, very, very long time. What that means is that when the price of a commodity goes up, the supply of the commodity doesn't go up in commensurate fashion quickly. So you get these extraordinary up moves in commodity prices. The commodity, the producer can't respond to price signals quickly. They do so over time. But over time, just as the thesis associated with the commodity is being very well demonstrated in the market, the high price of the commodity begins to constrict demand and increase supply. And when that happens, of course, the price of the commodity falls. When the price of the commodity falls, the industry itself doesn't cut production as fast as they would in other industries, because the cash cost of production isn't the same as the total cost of production, which includes the capital. What that means is that the margins in the industries and the price of the commodity fluctuates very wildly relative to median and mean. And what it means further for an investor is that you have two choices. You have to be a contrarian, or you're going to be in a victim. You have to be in these businesses when nobody wants to be in them. And when they return to favor, in particular hyper favor, you need to remember to sell.
So that actually kind of leads into my next question when it comes to philosophy, when understanding natural resources. And like when I first got into it and I started learning and listening to you and reading Brent's newsletter, you know, it seemed more often than not that this word contrarian continued to come up over and over again. So how do you become the best contrarian?
Experience is what did it to me. In the 1970s, as a young man, I made an extraordinary amount of money while all of my peers were losing money in the general market. Like all young men, I think, I confused a bull market with brains. And when the sector turned down, I went from being a very wealthy young man to having a negative net worth. There's nothing like experiencing it up close and personal to turn you into a contrarian. Most of the younger generation who became involved in natural resources and precious metals became involved towards the end of the last decade. In other words, they came into a bull market. And any of them who have experienced the bear market that was the necessary consequence of the bull market have enough experience now that they are or will be contrarians. Think about what you saw in the small cap natural resource market. You saw the index in the last bull market go up 5 or 6-fold. You saw numerous stocks that went up 2,000 or 3,000%. And then after that, you saw the index, the TSXV resource index, fall by 90% in real terms. That's a market that fell by half, and then for good measure, fell by half again. And then, for good measure, fell by half again. The experience of being in a market that goes up 10 times and then comes off by 90% is probably ample illustration of the fact that you either must be a contrarian or you will be a victim.
When you're a contrarian, you have different ways in which you're now going to go in and pick certain companies to invest in. So, you know, rather than giving an overarching what are you looking for, I want to know in this current market, what are you looking for, and when do you believe it's the right time to start looking at microcaps in the resource sector?
Well, certainly if you're underinvested in the gold space, the right time is now in gold and precious metals. The truth is we're through the bear market, we're into the bull market. in the stocks. So it wouldn't surprise me if for the next 3 to 4 months both the metal and the stock stayed flat. But the truth is, remember that we're in a market in terms of the equities that's off by 90%. So a 50% up move basically recoups less than 10% of what was lost. So if you're underweight precious metals and precious metals equities, I would suggest that the time to get involved in that sector of the market is now. If you have a good portfolio position in the precious metal stocks, by contrast, you might want to take a little tiny bit off the table. The truth is that you need to get paid all the way through a bull market. In the broader material segment, I think we've bottomed. In other words, I think we've seen the worst. But I think we're going to have a saucer-shaped recovery. And my expectation is that a really robust bull market in the non-precious metals resource space will take 18 to 24 months to materialize. And my suspicion is, in particular in the oil and gas space, that you're going to see a lot of credit market dislocation in energy, beginning in the junk bond markets, and that part will begin in the third or fourth quarter of this year. So you may see further weakness in the sub-billion-dollar market cap space in the oil and gas sector, and you're going to see, not so much with regards to microcap stocks, but certainly you're going to see massive dislocation in the junk bond markets in the energy space. But you need to remember that when you are hearing about, reading about, or even experiencing absolute carnage in the market, if all of your competitors are afraid, it's time for you to be brave. So beginning sort of 9 months from now through 18 months from now would be a really good time to position in the industrial materials markets.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask a few questions that are more on the actual within the mining space type of question, in the sense that, you know, is consolidation of exploration microcap companies going to continue?
Yes, I think it will. It's important to remember that most microcap mining companies are figments of people's imagination. In other words, if you look worldwide, let's say there's 1,500 companies that purport to be in the mining business. Most of them are dreams and sort of salary schemes. And the legitimate part of the market is probably 300 of the 1,500 issuers that pollute the sector. My hope is that the 1,000 or 1,200 pretenders either go broke or go into some business that the management team understands, like marijuana. among the 300 legitimate entries, I think you will see continued consolidation, and I think that needs to happen. On an industry-wide basis, we need fewer companies, and we need less general and administrative expense relative to property expenditures. So, yes, I think consolidation continues among the real players.
And who do you think is going to be buying up these, not just exploration companies, do you think maybe the larger producers are buying up these resource companies?
Well, I think that consolidation will happen all over the place, but I think that most of the consolidation will be horizontal consolidation. In other words, juniors will amalgamate out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we've seen very recently with the premium price takeovers of both Cameneck and the proposed takeover of Reservoir, that very high-quality deposits will command premium acquisition prices by larger mining companies. And so I think the answer to yours isn't an either-or question, but rather a yes answer. Horizontal amalgamation will take place. Intermediates will take over juniors. Majors will take over intermediates. And very high-quality exploration successes will go in multiple-party takeover contests to whoever has the courage to bid the most.
So what I want to know is, you know, I've been noticing that with the strong dollar and increasing interest rates, you know, this leads to pressuring precious metals prices. So what I wanted to know is, when do you think this trend will reverse?
That's a really interesting question. And I think it's important to note that although many people believe that higher interest rates necessarily depress the price of gold, history will teach us that this isn't necessarily true. And I'll draw your listeners' attention to two pieces of evidence for this. The first, of course, would be the spectacular bull market of the 1970s, where U.S. dollar interest rates, as evidenced by the U.S. 10-year Treasury, increased fivefold, and the gold price went from $35 an ounce to $850 an ounce. The second incidence would, of course, be the dollar strengthening of 2002, where the interest rate increase led to a strengthening U.S. dollar in a gold bull market that was already underway. And despite that strength, the U.S. dollar rose and the gold price rose too. The question is not so much whether interest rates go up, but why the interest rate goes up. And if the interest rate goes up because of savers' expectation of diminished purchasing power in the context of their principal, then the interest rate can go up and the gold price can go up too. It's also worthy to note that in the very near term, the expectations of the U.S. interest rate rise have been somewhat dampened by the jobs report that came out last week. My own suspicion is that the gold bull market that we're in today is similar to the gold bull market that began to exist in the early part of the last decade, 2000, 2001, 2002. And in that circumstance, what you had was an 18-month period where the gold price was increasing in every currency except the U.S. dollar. But U.S. dollar strength was so strong that for U.S. dollar holders, the gold price wasn't increasing. At a certain point in time, gold began to increase against the U.S. dollar, which we've just seen, and then gold and the U.S. dollar increased in tandem because of economic difficulties in other parts of the world. And finally, when the dollar rolled over as a consequence of competitive devaluation, the gold price really began to take off. Whether or not past is prologue, I can't say because I don't have a crystal ball, but it seems to me like the world is unfolding very much according to that script.
So I also want to know from, as an investor, you know, why should investors look at microcap producers when major name producers seem undervalued right now?
Well, I think that really depends on the nature of the investor. The truth is that I think you need to segregate at some point in time between investors and speculators. And even inside one person like myself, I have an investment portfolio and I have a speculative portfolio. I define it incorrectly as saying that the investment part of my portfolio, I am looking for reasonable returns on capital employed, but I'm expecting positive returns on capital employed. Speculation is very different. I'm taking real principal risk, but I'm looking for gains that compensate me for the risk that I'm taking. So I think that your readers need to decide, first of all, for themselves whether or not they are investors in the context that I just explained, or in fact, they're speculators. I can tell you this because I often make fun of speculators, and my wife says that the fact that I make fun of them is very disingenuous because all of the money that I invest now, I personally got by speculating. Speculation is harder work. It is harder on your psyche. It's harder to sleep at night. It exposes you to real risk. But the truth is that speculation, in particular counter-cyclical speculation, has been extremely, extremely good for me. And let me give you an illustration. The truth is that for long-term resource speculators, such as myself, people who work very hard in the market and are in the market in good times and bad, the sad truth is that all of the money that you have in the sector, when the sector turns down, you characteristically lose half of, and I'm not kidding, half of. But that's really not so bad, because in the up cycle, historically, speculators have made tenfold increases. So let's look at this. Let's say that your timing was absolutely pathetic, and you came into the natural resources market at the top of the market with $100,000. In a typical down cycle over 4 or 5 years, you would lose $50,000 of the $100,000. But if you repositioned the remaining $50,000 correctly in a disciplined fashion at the market bottom, over the next 4 or 5 years, you would turn that $50,000 into $500,000 in this illustration, which means that over a decade, you would turn $100,000 into $500,000. When you look at it in that context, it's a fairly intelligent activity. It's just that the declines that punctuate this market, that punctuate this process, can be so painful. But my observation right now, with the gold bull market already underway and a general commodities bull market, in my own opinion, 18 months to 2 years out, my observation would be you suffered through the pain already. Why not hang around for the gain?
I also want to know is that gold, like you just said, gold, or sort of, but gold had a recent run-up and then corrected. Several analysts predicted that, that this would happen. So do you think that the correction is near over, or is this correction really a buy signal?
Boy, you're asking a question that's way above my pay grade. I would ask people to look at their own portfolios. I believe that the risks of not owning gold are much higher than the risks of owning gold. So investors who are underinvested in the bullion, underinvested in the major mining stocks, need to, I think, correct that imbalance. For speculators, if you are overinvested in the sector, and I know some speculators who have 100% of their net worth in precious metals microcaps, when you're 100% invested in the sector and you've had a 60 or 70% up move like we had, the truth is that you take some money off the table. It isn't so much the metal as the person that makes that decision.
So in the last article for the Microcap Review magazine, in the very first sentence, you stated, value-oriented clients will probably be able to buy the best names in the middle of 2016. So we're just about there. And what I'm curious is, are we on target?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the very best names in the precious metals sector are probably up a little bit, but in the context of where I see the precious metals sector, if your portfolio isn't well allocated, you need to buy some of them. In the context of the industrial material sector, you can buy now or you can wait for 6 months. Either of them are really okay. The important part of the qualifier, though, is to buy the best companies. If you are an investor, the highest quality companies. If you are a speculator, understanding the risks implied by that, again, the highest quality company. Make no mistake, we are early in a resources and precious metals bull market, early enough in resources that it haven't started yet, early enough in precious metals that although you will see 15, 20, 25% pullbacks from time to time, this market goes much higher, in my own opinion.
Okay, so Rick, here's I ask this to everybody who I have on the podcast, and it's one of my favorite questions. You know, what experience in your investing career did you learn from the most that you still carry with you to this day?
That one's really easy. In the decade of the 1970s, when I made so much money so easily in natural resources, the first thing I did is I confused the bull market with me being a smart guy, which was wrong. And I forgot how cyclical natural resources and precious metals are. That experience, when the market turned down, but I didn't know how dramatically these things came off, I forgot to sell. The last lesson, the most important lesson, is the first one we talked about on this call. If you are not a contrarian, you're going to be a victim. Remember that you are early in this bull market, but also remember that bull markets are seductive. 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, whatever, when you become very, very proud of your portfolio and you believe that you understand the sector, that's time to begin to sell in earnest.
So last question, what is your advice for aspiring microcap investors looking at the resource sector?
Work hard. Don't own too many stocks. Limit the number of stocks you own to the number of companies that you're willing to spend at least 1 hour per month on individually. If you aren't willing to spend 1 hour a month understanding the stocks, then own a microcap resource ETF like our own Sprott Junior Gold Miners Trust. Remember, the only thing that you can control with regards to the performance of your portfolio is how much work you put in. So in addition to risking your money, you're risking your time and risking your life. If you apply both of those well, there is no sector that is as volatile as this sector, meaning that there is no sector that rises as far from the bottom of a bear market as this. But remember that you're risking your time as well as your money. You will get out what you put into it.
And where can our audience go and find more information?
Well, I would love it if your audience would come to the Sprott Global website, www.sprottglobal.com. Two comments with regards to that. We have an in-house blog from Sprott, which catalogs our best ideas and information. I know your people will get their money from it because it's absolutely free. That's called Sprott's Thoughts. You go to www.sprottsthoughts for that information. The second thing, though, is a special offer for your subscribers and listeners, which is that I personally will do a portfolio review if you send me an email with your junior resource portfolio in the text, not as an attachment, with both name and symbols. Send that to contact@sprottglobal.com. I will personally review and rank your portfolio, no obligation, and send it back to you by return email.
Can I do that?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, then you should be getting an email shortly.
I look forward to it.
Well, Rick, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy man, so I really do appreciate it.
Mr. Kraft, it's a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you somewhere, sometime, at some conference again.
Oh, I wonder which one that is. I believe it's in Vancouver somewhere.
Well, I would, of course, prefer that that conference be the Sprott Natural Resource Conference, which you and your father have graced with your presence for some number of years. That's July 25th through 29th exclusively. And we would love to see you, and we would, of course, love to see your listeners and subscribers at that conference. This will be its 25th year, and we believe after 25 years it stood the test of time through bull markets and bears. So we would look forward to seeing everybody at that conference.
Well, we'll definitely be there. And where can our audience go find information about the conference?
If you come to Vancouver Resources Forum, or else, if you just go to the main website at www.sprottglobal.com, either works.
Perfect. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Planet Microcap podcast, and thank you, Rick, again for coming on to the program. You can access the podcast by going on to stocknewsnow.com under podcast, go to podbean.com and search Planet Microcap podcast, or on iTunes and search Planet Microcap podcast. Stay tuned for the next Planet Microcap podcast, where we'll have our next guest to discuss all things microcap. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, please send an email to info@stocknewsnow.com. I'd love to hear from all of you. This podcast has been brought to you by SNN Incorporated, publishers of StockNewsNow.com, the official microcap news source, and the Microcap Review magazine. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you again for joining me on the Planet Microcap podcast. Have a great week, everyone.